If you have your Bible with you, can you turn with me please this morning to the Old Testament and to the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings. And we're in chapter 5 this morning. Second Kings chapter 5, if you come to the little book of Ruth, and then the book of 1 and 2 Samuel, and then 1 and 2 Kings. And we're in 2 Kings chapter 5. We want to read the first 14 verses and look at just an incident in the chapter. So we read there in 2 Kings chapter 5 and in verse 1, "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honourable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. Also, he also was a mighty man in valour, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies, and they brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, 'Would God my lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy.' And one," that's Naaman, "went in and told his lord, saying, 'Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel.' And the king of Syria said, 'Go to, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel.' And he departed, and took with him 10 talents of silver, and 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, 'Now, when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy.' And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, 'Am I God, to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me.' And it was so, when Elisha the man of God had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, 'Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel.' So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, 'Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean.' But Naaman was wroth, and went away and said, 'Behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me and stand and call in the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharphar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?' So he returned and went away in a rage. And the servants came near and spake unto him and said, 'My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again, like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean." Amen. We'll end reading there just at verse 14. We want to consider, really, I suppose, as a subject or as a text, verses 2 and 3 out of the reading. But before we come to do so, we'll just bow in a moment's prayer and ask the Lord for his help. Maybe you've had a busy morning, you haven't had that time to pray, you've been busy. Well, you can just still yourself just now before God and just ask him to come and to speak to your heart this morning. So let's pray again just now. Lord, we come before thee and we do thank you for the scriptures. We know, Lord, with authority that they are God-breathed. Prophecy and the oracles of God, they came directly and sourced directly in heaven. We know, Lord, that we are not reading man's word to us today, but we're reading God's word. And Lord, we just ask that as it is your word, as it is your desire to speak to your children, just as a father would lovingly and caringly speak to his child, O Lord, that you might come and you might speak to us, thy dear children. Lord, we need something. We need a word from thee. We need thee to come and to speak to us out of the book. And we just ask, Lord, that you will do that just now for us, that you will come and that you will sweep by us, that you will meet that need, whatever our need is, that you will come and that you will meet that need. So, Lord, hear and answer prayer. Be with us. Open up the scriptures to us as we looked even this morning at the two men on the road to Emmaus, as you came and you opened up the scriptures unto them. And they were able to say, did not our hearts burn within us? He talked with us by the way and opened the scriptures unto us. O Lord, come and open the scriptures unto us today. So Lord, be with us. We need your help and your presence, and we just ask for it now. Hear and answer prayer, for we ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Amen. So 2 Kings chapter 5, and we read there in the verse 2 that the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. Now coming into this chapter in 2 Kings chapter 5, we are met by a man named Naaman. Now who was Naaman? Naaman was the captain of the army of Syria. And a man named Ben-Hadad was the king of Syria. Syria, this is important because Syria had been long at war with Israel. For some time they had been fighting for territory. And so we find here that the captain of the host of Syria, Naaman, this is who our text speaks about. And the army was led by Naaman. And the Bible tells us in a reading this morning some things concerning Naaman, in verse 1 especially, so many good and positive things about Naaman. Verse 1 tells us that he was a great man with his master, and honourable, and he was a man of valour. So Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, he really valued this captain of his army. He said that he was a great man with his master. In other words, he was a great man with his master Ben-Hadad, who was the captain of Syria. So the captain, or the king of Syria, he really highly valued his captain, the captain of his army. And he described him as a mighty man of valour. In other words, he was a good captain, good at war and strong, and a strong leader of the army. But whilst this man was a successful man and a good captain, yet he had a sickness. Sadly, he was sick. For verse 1 tells us that he had a disease called leprosy. Now, leprosy in the Bible was a terrible disease, and at this particular time, and indeed throughout the Bible, it was an incurable disease. And this man in charge of the Syrian army, yes, there's many good things about his life, but the Bible tells us, but he was a leper. So he suffered with this terrible and incurable disease called leprosy. But in the portion that we read this morning, we read of just a young Israelite girl who came to Naaman, the king of Syria, and told him how he could have his leprosy cleansed, or how he could have his leprosy recovered or cured. The Syrian army had taken this young girl. They had went to her homeland, went to Israel. We're not told where in the reading, but the army, the men under Naaman, they had went to Israel and taken this young girl as a slave and brought her to the land of Syria. And we now find this young little maid in the house of Naaman with his wife. And whilst there in this house, this little maid, this insignificant maid, the Bible doesn't even give us her name, yet she was used mightily of God. She came to Naaman's wife and she spoke to him. She said in verse 3, would God that he would recover him of his leprosy. In other words, that he would go to the prophet in Israel and that he would recover him of his leprosy. Although this little maid was a small maid and an insignificant maid, and she was away in a foreign land, yet she spoke of Elisha, one who could cure Naaman's leprosy. She was a small maid, an insignificant maid, yet she was mightily used by God in these difficult and desperate surroundings. And this morning, although you might feel small and even substandard in the world, yet God, he still wants you to serve. Just like this little maid, as she waited on Naaman's wife, and then as she spoke, and she spoke to Naaman and told him spoke to Naaman's wife and told him how he could be cured by his leprosy, so God too. You might feel small, you might feel insignificant in this world, you might feel wherever God has placed you, that it's difficult. It's hard to be a Christian. And here we have this maid. You imagine her. She's been brought away from Israel, brought away from her homeland, now in the land of Syria. She's in the house of the person who's captain of the army. It was very difficult for her. Yet she still spoke. She still spoke to Naaman's wife. And she told him. She told his wife about Elisha, who could cleanse him of his leprosy. And of course, the application to us is that no matter how difficult the surroundings, no matter how difficult where it is God has placed you in life, yet you can still speak of another prophet, can't you? You can still speak of the prophet of Jehovah. You can still speak of Jesus Christ, the one who came into this earth to cleanse those who suffer with spiritual leprosy, those who suffer from the disease of sin. You can be like this little maid. God can use you to speak of Christ, who can cure that spiritual leprosy called sin. You remember how Paul, in just becoming a Christian, he was on the road to Damascus to persecute Christians. But as he was on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9, the Lord Jesus Christ met Paul in his way, stopped him in his tracks, and gloriously saved him. And Paul then, in Acts 9 verse 20, we read that going into the synagogue in Damascus, in Acts 9 verse 20, and just becoming a Christian, what did he do? Well, Acts 9:20 says that straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Paul, having just become a Christian, what did he do? He didn't stand around with the hands behind his back. No, he went into the synagogue and he spoke. He spoke of Christ, the one who had met him on the road to Damascus, and the one who gloriously saved him. See, this morning, God doesn't want us to be silent. No, God wants you to be speaking. God wants you to be like this little maid, speaking. Speaking of the one who can cure from leprosy. And just as this little maid, just small and insignificant, I don't even know her name, yet she was mightily used by God in a tremendous way. And that's really what I want us to think about this morning. I want us to take this little maid, just as she appears for us in verse 2 and also verse 3, we want to consider this little maid this morning under the subject heading, A Little Maid with a Big Message. A Little Maid with a Big Message. And there are three things that I want us to think about in thinking about this little maid and her big message. And I'll give them to you just now so you can follow along with the message. You'll know where we're starting and you'll know when we're finishing. And the three things that I want us to think about this morning in thinking about this little maid, I want us to think about her surroundings. This little maid, she moved from Syria, or from Israel into the land of Syria, and she was in hard surroundings. I want us also to think, secondly, about her speech. This little maid, when she was there, she spoke. Her surroundings, her speech, and lastly, her success. Because, if you read on in the chapter, Naaman was cleansed. A little maid with a big message. Let's then look firstly at the maid's surroundings. This little maid was taken from Israel, from the land of her birth, and she was brought into Syria, into a different country. She was brought into Syria, into different surroundings. Two things I want us to think about in thinking about these surroundings. I want you to notice that they were problematic surroundings. They were problematic surroundings. Verse 2 says, and the Syrians had gone out by companies, and had brought them away captive out of the land of Israel, a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. Now that phrase there, gone out by companies, it refers to some of the men of Ben-Hadad, or of Naaman, some of the men under him in his army. And they would have gathered together in troops or in companies, maybe of about 100 or of about 200, and they would have basically went out on raids. They would have went out in these little companies to steal things such as animal or food. They even, as we have read here, they then crossed over from their own country, from Syria. They would have even crossed over lands into Israel, going on these ransacking raids. And in basically what they were doing is they were robbing the poor. They would have taken things off the people who were poor and brought them back to Syria, to their headquarters. And this little maid, what was she? Well, she was basically their loot, or their booty. This little maid was taken away from her home. She was the spoil of their stealing. She probably lived with her parents, But yet she was taken away into this land of Syria as a slave. And so she found herself in very difficult and very dark surroundings. She would have missed the security and the shelter that her family and her would have given her. Yet despite being in these difficult surroundings, despite being in these problematic surroundings, this little maid, she made a difference. She made a difference to those around her, and she served God faithfully and made a difference in this new land and house. And this morning, although God might have you in a difficult place, yet you can still make a difference. Like this little maid, you can still make an impression for God wherever he has placed you. Maybe you say to me this morning, "Preacher, the place where God has placed me is so difficult. It's so problematic. It's so difficult to be a Christian." Yet we find here this little maid, she was in a difficult situation. She was taken away from home. She was in a new land. Yet what did she do? She still made a difference. And you can take heart from this little maid this morning. You can take heart from her that she's insignificant. Nobody really knows anything about her other than what she did here. Yet God greatly used her. God greatly used her. And she made a difference in her surroundings. We think about Joseph. Joseph was certainly in difficult surroundings. Yet while he was in difficult surroundings, he still remained faithful to God. Remember Joseph, whenever he was brought into Egypt, and he served God faithfully in the house of Potiphar, and he was tempted to sin, yet he didn't sin. He remained faithful to God. And for remaining faithful to God, what happened? Joseph was cast into prison. You imagine Joseph being there. You put yourself in Joseph's position, being faithful to God. And because you were faithful to God, being cast into prison, you certainly would say that it was difficult. It was dark. It was desperate. Yet here, whilst in prison, surrounded by difficulty, we read in Genesis chapter 40, verse 4, concerning Joseph, that the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and continued a season in the ward. Whenever Joseph was in there, whenever he was in prison, a baker and a butler came and joined him. And he, you know the story, he interpreted their dreams, and he faithfully served in these difficult and desperate circumstances. And whether it be easy or difficult this morning, God still wants you to serve. He still wants you to serve him wherever he has placed you. Oh, it's hard. I know it's hard where you are, whether it be a workplace, whether it be school, whether it be university, even whether it be in the home. It's hard to serve God. Yet, you can take heart from this little maid that she, despite her problematic surroundings, she still served the Lord. You think about David Livingstone. David Livingstone was a missionary to Africa in the mid-1840s. And one day, whilst in the midst of Africa, he was in a village helping the people in the local village. And whilst he was there in the village, a lion came and started to attack the village. And so David Livingstone, being the missionary, he ran over to the person who's being attacked. And what happened? Well, the lion then jumped on him and went for his arm. And there in the midst of Africa, he nearly lost his arm, and he had to be laid aside for a while. And you would have forgiven him. You would certainly have forgiven him if he had given up. But no, he didn't. Despite the desperate, despite the dark, the difficult circumstances, he still pressed on. He still pressed on, and he served the Lord. He served despite difficulty. Do you see this little maid this morning? Do you see the surroundings that she's in? They're problematic. But notice also that they were protected. In verse 2 we read, "And the Syrians had gone out by companies, and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife." She was taken away from her homeland, away from Israel. She was taken away from everything that was familiar to her. She was taken as a slave to a foreign land. And whenever she was with these men, the companies, the trips of 100 or 200 people, anything could have happened to her. She was making that long journey down from Israel, down into Syria, and anything could have happened to her. But the Lord protected her. Remember as well that she was in a foreign land, and with foreign land outside of Israel comes their pagan gods. And so she was away from Israel. She was away from the temple. She was away from the high priest who would have administered that daily a sacrifice for her sins. She was away from her parents, who would have instructed her in the ways of righteousness. And she now would have been fully exposed to their pagan gods. I imagine this little maid coming in to the house of Naaman with his wife. And maybe they'll have their local god or their local idol just sitting up in the house. And so she was surrounded by idolatry. She was surrounded by difficulty. She was in a foreign land. Yet the Lord, he still protected her. The Lord had his hand upon her and he protected her in her difficult and dark surroundings. And this morning I want to encourage you, because although you might be in difficult circumstances, yet the Lord will still defend you. He'll still be your shield. He'll still be your buckler. He'll still be that strong tower. Be the righteous go-to for safety. He'll still be your shield. And maybe you say this morning, oh, where I go, where I work, where the Lord has placed me, it's difficult. Just like this little maid, I'm surrounded by idolatry. I'm surrounded by the belief system of those in work. They're atheists or they're antagonistic. They're just against the Lord. Well, you can take heart from this little maid. For here she was in a different land. She was faced with all of their idolatry, faced with their pagan gods day in, day out, and daily. Yet the Lord kept his hand upon her, and he enabled her to serve him. We could think of, in the Bible, you could think of many people who were taken away from the comfort zone, yet the Lord still protected them. I'm thinking of a young person in the Bible. I'm thinking of Ishmael. In Genesis chapter 21, speaking about Ishmael being taken away from his home in Genesis 21, and in verse 20, we read, "And God was with the lad, and he grew, and dwelt in the wilderness, and became an archer." You remember Ishmael, Ishmael and Hagar, they had to leave Abraham. Sarah was cross with Abraham, and she came to Abraham one day, and she said, "Abraham, take Ishmael and Hagar away. I don't want them here anymore. They're constantly plaguing me." Of course, you remember what Abraham did with Hagar. And so Abraham had to come to Hagar and to Ishmael. And we now find them in the wilderness in Paran. And so Ishmael is away from home. He's away from his father. He's just with his parents. And yet we read there in Genesis 21 concerning Ishmael, in these difficult surroundings, that God was with the lad in the wilderness. As he grew up and went in to work, God was with him. God was with him in the wilderness. See, the Lord will be with you in those difficulties. He'll be with you, guiding you, strengthening you, protecting you, and leading you. He'll be with you, and he'll give you that strength that you need to stand and to serve him. Just like this little maid, she was given strength. She was protected, and she was given strength to serve. Laurie Anderson was a missionary in Peru, and she was a missionary to a group, a very particular group of Indians named the Chapra Indians. And one day, as a Christian missionary would, she decided she would try and find a good place to do her daily devotions, her daily Bible reading and prayer time. And so she decided, well, I'm in the middle of the jungle, I'll just go down to the river and have my daily quiet time. So she got her Bible out, and she began to read her Bible, and then she got her little prayer list out. And just as she got her little prayer list out, she memorized the list for the day, and then she began to close her eyes and began to pray. And while she began to pray, just at the riverside, a snake came and slithered its way up, and it turned out that it was an anaconda. And basically what happened to that missionary was the anaconda, it wrapped the missionary round in its coils. And you'll know that type of snake, whenever it has you wrapped and it starts to constrict, there's no going back. And so here is this missionary in very difficult circumstances. Yet for some unknown reason to her, other than of course it was the Lord, the snake just decided to release her. And that day, although she was in difficult circumstances, yet the Lord had his hand upon her. The Lord protected her while she was far away from home. Do you see the maid? Do you see her surroundings? Do you see her making this journey from Israel as a slave girl into the land of Syria? And it's very difficult for her surroundings. Notice secondly then, her speech. This little maid was now in the house of Naaman, and whilst there, Naaman was to contract a terrible sickness called leprosy. But whilst she was there, she spoke to him, and she told him about how his leprosy could be cured. Again, there are two things I want you to notice about her speech. Notice that she was patient in her speech. In verse 2, we read that she waited on Naaman's wife. When this little maid was brought into this foreign country, into Syria, well, it would have been very easy for her to become bitter. After all, she was taken away from home, and she, to her belief or whatever, she didn't really deserve it. And so it was very easy for her to become bitter. Yet, she was patient. She was patient with Naaman's wife. She patiently served her. That's what it means to wait. She would have maybe did daily chores for her, such as the cooking or even the cleaning. She would have performed those humble and everyday tasks for Naaman's wife. And basically, she served those who were her enemies. She served the people who took her away from her homeland. Those who were giving her, as she would have acknowledged it, a very difficult time. They were her enemies, yet she was patient with them. And she waited and she served Naaman's wife. And then whenever she served Naaman's wife, then when the opportunity presented itself, then she spoke. What I'm saying to you this morning is that she served. And because she served, she then had the opportunity to speak. She was patient in waiting for her opportunity. And when speaking of Christ and seeking to speak to people about Christ, we need to be patient, not pushy. Sometimes we just have to wait for our opportunity. Like this little maid, as she was in the house, as she was serving patiently, serving Naaman's wife, so too, you must at times wait for that opportunity. Maybe in work, a person's giving you a difficult time, it'd be so easy just to bite back. But maybe you could respond just with that loving Christian gentleness. And you could even serve that person who maybe, humanly speaking, is your enemy. You could serve them. And then whenever you're serving them, then that opportunity might arise. You could serve them patiently. And then that opportunity could arise, and you're able then to speak about Christ. In serving them, in being patient with them, you then you earn the right to witness to that person. Speaking about our speech, Proverbs 25 verse 15 tells us that by long forbearing a prince is persuaded, and a soft tongue breaketh the bone. The picture here is of a king who basically gets his own way, and then he has a servant who comes alongside him and serves him diligently and patiently and obediently, and as the text there says, by long forbearing. In other words, putting up with him. And whenever he serves him patiently, serves him obediently, then when his opportunity presents itself, he then just speaks a soft word. And the text says there, it's like a soft tongue that breaketh the bone. The bone is hard, it's full of marrow, and yet the impatiently waiting, the servant, just that little soft word, it's enough. It's enough to break the hardest of person. And it may take you time in serving an individual before you get that opportunity to speak. And I trust that you see just the example here of the maid, just faithfully serving, faithfully waiting on Naaman's wife. And then when the opportunity came, she was patient, but then when the opportunity came, she spoke. The patience of her speech, but notice then also the particulars of her speech. What did she actually say? Well, verse 3 tells us that she said unto her mistress, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." Naaman, he had a terrible disease. And while serving faithfully, in the home, the maid, she then had her opportunity. Now, what did she really speak about? Well, firstly, she looked at his condition. And then she realized that there's a remedy for his condition. And she spoke to Naaman, Naaman's wife about that remedy. She told him about Elisha in her homeland. She told him about Elisha, who had been performing miracles. He hadn't specifically cleansed lepers, but he had been performing other miracles. And he, as she surely knew, that here's a man who is able to cleanse Naaman from his leprosy. And so very particularly, she spoke to Naaman's wife about somebody who could cleanse Naaman's leprosy. You see, Christ doesn't want us to be silent. Christ wants us to speak. He wants you to tell others around you of how he can cleanse them of their spiritual leprosy. The maid was in difficult surroundings, but that didn't hold her back because she spoke. She spoke of Christ. Think of it this morning. You who are a Christian, you were born with spiritual leprosy, yet Christ was revealed unto you and you were cleansed. And in thinking about your condition, thinking about the fact that Christ has cleansed you, that ought to motivate you. Motivate you to speak for others. Motivate you to speak and to tell of Christ. How he can cleanse that person who's near to you. How he can cleanse them from their sin. Thinking about how he was cleansed, and then he went to tell everybody else about it. We read of the leper in Mark chapter 1 verse 45, that he went about and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city. The leper had just been met by Christ. Christ came to the leper. He said, I will be thou clean, in Mark chapter 1. And in cleansing him of his leprosy, we then find that the leper, he couldn't contain it. He couldn't keep it in. And he went to his nearest city, and he told of how Christ had cleansed him from his leprosy. See, despite it being tough, God still wants us to talk. He still wants us to speak about the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I know this morning, I know that God has placed you in a difficult place, just like this little maid. Yet, you can take heart from her. You can follow her example. You can speak. You can speak for Christ. You're able to say to that person who's not yet a Christian that Christ can cleanse you. That Christ can cleanse you from your sin. Oh, you have a disease which is leprosy, spiritual leprosy, it's sin. Yet Christ can cleanse you. There was a group of friends, and they were away at a weekend for a weekend, a holiday weekend. And in this group of friends, there were some who were Christians, and then there were others who were atheists, and then there were some who were just really run-of-the-mill, didn't really have any belief as such. And one Sunday, whenever the Christians were getting ready, going to church, the atheist said to one of the Christians, suppose today, rather than going to church, you come and sit beside me and you tell me why you're a Christian. Now, the man knew that this atheist was quite a good thinker, a logical thinker. He was very clever. And so the Christian, he sort of sunk back and he hesitated. But the man said to you, I'm not here to argue with you. I just basically want you to tell me what Christ has done for you and what he means to you. And that day, the Christian, he sat with the atheist, sat in the house, and he spoke to him of what Christ meant for him. And the atheist, although he didn't become a Christian, he said to the man, I would give my right hand if only I could believe that. And that man, although he was shaking, quaking in his boots, yet he still spoke for Christ. And here is this little maid. She's in difficult surroundings, yet look at her speech. She spoke of how Naaman could be cleansed of his leprosy. The maid's surroundings, the maid's speech. But notice lastly, very quickly, the maid's success. The maid faithfully spoke of Elisha to the mistress, and the mistress then told Naaman. And the maid was successful, not because she cleansed Naaman, but she was successful because she was listened to. She was successful because she was listened to, and because she was listened to, then Naaman was cleansed. And again, two things about her success. Notice that her message was heard. In verse 4, we read concerning Naaman, that Naaman went in and told his lord, saying, Thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. Basically, when the maid spoke of Naaman to his wife, his wife listened to all that the maid had to say. You remember that there was no cure for leprosy at this time. And so it would have been very easy for the wife to have been full of unbelief. She could have said quite easily to the maid, what are you on about? There's no such thing. There's no cure for leprosy. And if you read the Gospels, you'll actually discover that Naaman was the only leper cleansed in all of Israel at this time. Christ said that. And so it would have been very easy for her to be full of unbelief. And then remember this. Remember that the maid was very much an inferior to Naaman's wife. She was a slave. As far as Naaman's wife was concerned, she was insignificant. She was inferior. She wasn't important. And spiritually speaking, it was a miracle. Yet, Naaman's wife listened to the message. And although all will not listen, yet thank God this morning some will listen. You see, Christ has prepared a people throughout this world. And although all might not listen to you when you speak of Christ, yet some will listen. Because Christ has prepared some hearts that whenever you go and speak to them, they'll come to Christ. They'll listen to your message. Do we not see that in the example of Lydia? Whenever Paul went to Philippi, verse 12 says that he abode in Philippi certain days of Acts 16. And I imagine Paul being in Philippi for maybe quite a long time. Maybe he would have went around and speaking to people. And it was maybe quite a long time before he actually got to the riverside. And yet whenever he got to the riverside, in Acts 16 verse 14 we read about Lydia, that she was a lady whose heart the Lord had opened. And she attended unto the things that were spoken of Paul. The Lord had prepared Lydia. And Lydia opened her heart. And what happened to Lydia? She attended unto the things spoken of Paul. In other words, she listened to Paul's message. The message was heard, and then her heart was open. See, this morning, there's no reason for us to be pessimistic. No, Christ wants us to be optimistic, because he has prepared a people throughout this world who will listen to the message. Just like Lydia, whose heart the Lord had opened. Just like we find here this man, this wife of Naaman. She heard the message. The maid was successful. Why? Because the message was heard. She was also successful then, lastly, because her master was healed. In verse 14 we read, then went he down and dipped himself seven times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Naaman, he went to Ben-Hadad, who was the king of Syria, and he asked him, could he go to Samaria, where Elisha was? Whenever he arrived at Elisha's house, Elisha told Naaman to go and to drop in the to wash himself in the Jordan seven times, and he would be completely healed. And he did that. Although it took a little bit of time, took a little bit of coercion, yet the master was healed. He was completely healed of his leprosy. And this morning, you can be successful in that your message can be heard. And then, the person who you speak to, they can be healed. Oh, you're not the person who does the healing, it's only Christ. Just as Elisha here was the person who gave the instruction, so Christ is the only one who can save. But you can enjoy success in that your message will be heard, and that there will be then somebody who is healed. Christ is able and willing, and all you have to do really is play your part. Just like a little kink in the chain. But I wonder this morning, if you're in the meeting, and you're not a Christian, can you say, are you able to say like Naaman, that I am but Naaman, Naaman was but a leper. I wonder this morning, do you see yourself as Naaman? Do you see yourself as suffering from that spiritual leprosy? For leprosy in the Bible, it's a type of sin. And the implication of verse 14 is that if Naaman didn't go down to the Jordan and cleanse and wash in the Jordan and be cleansed, then he never would have been cleansed. If he didn't listen to the instruction, then he never would have been cleansed. And this morning, just like the little maid, I'm here to point you to Christ. I'm here to point you to the Lord Jesus Christ, one who can recover you of your spiritual leprosy, your sin. You sin before God. We've all sinned before God, but you specifically have sinned before God. Yet I'm pointing you today, just like the maid pointed to Elisha, I'm pointing you to Christ, one who can cleanse you from your sin. Have you come to Christ this morning? Have you come and washed and had your sins forgiven? The little maid with a big message. The little maid was taken away from her native land of Israel. She was brought captive to the land of Syria. But while she was there, she faithfully served. And in serving faithfully, she then had her opportunity to speak. And she was successful because Naaman was healed. May God give you that same encouragement to be like the little maid, faithfully serving wherever God has placed you. And you never know, there might be those who just will listen and be healed. May God bless his word to our hearts.